Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
Minutes past the hour. This is hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, aka WBC Boxing TV. Of course, we come to you live and delayed, both on Twitch.tv, the Twitch.tv, the Sports Pile on USA Channel, of course, on iHeartRadio as well. Of course, SiriusXM Satellite Radio Channel 217. You name it, we're there. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Let's take it from the west coast of the United States to the UK and bring in our ace, Sir Kenneth Rainford. How are you this morning, Sir Kenneth?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Now, your boy last night had a broken orbital bone. People were criticizing the ending of that fight. You know, I had no criticism whatsoever. Once a guy's beaten, he's beaten. There's no sense for a guy to take additional damage.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. But the thing about that surprised me about the fight was the scorecards. I know it wasn't an exciting fight or nothing like that, but I had our guy slightly ahead. In fact, not slightly. I gave him most of the first six rounds. Canelo just walked him down and didn't really do much until the seventh round, where he turned the steam on, and then obviously that's when he done the damage to the body and the eye, and they pulled him out of there before he would have got and hurt. There's no two ways about that. But I found the scorecards quite remarkable.
Well, you know, I argued with a couple of people on the phone this morning. They didn't think that he was piling up any rounds. I thought he was piling up rounds, but as one guy said, he was sort of like sparring. It was sort of like a sparring event for him until he got cracked. He was sparring Billy Joe Saunders until he got cracked and he was taking it real serious. But at the end of the day, of course, I thought he put up a decent effort. People say that he quit in the corner. He just can't. You know, Kenny, people that haven't been punished and haven't been hurt and haven't been put in that type of position have no idea. They're just looking for the entertainment factor. They want to see some guy get laid out.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, I once had a perforated eardrum. My God, that was one of the worst injuries you know I could have had in boxing. But to the layman looking on the outside of the ring, it just looked like you got caught with, you know, a punch around the head.
You know, speaking of punches in the eardrum, Barry McGuigan had a broken eardrum going into the Stevie Cruz fight back in 1996, I believe. And Barney Eastwood, the promoter, called me in the morning of the fight after the weigh-in and says, Pedro, I think Barry's got a broken eardrum. What do you think? I said, I don't think he should be fighting. What happened that night? Barry got beat.
Yeah. And the same thing happened with Larry Holmes when he fought Mike Weaver.
Explain that to me.
Well, when Holmes fought Mike Weaver, I think it was the second or third round, he took a blow to the eardrum and it absolutely obliterated his eardrum. And he fought the entire fight. Number one, he wasn't 100%. He was feeling sick. But to, on top of that, to have a bust eardrum and go 12 rounds with Mike Weaver in the Madison Square Garden was, you know, looking back, was quite some feat to come back to clinch the win.
Yeah. June the 5th, of course, we've got pay-per-view going on in Miami, Florida, Teofimo Lopez versus George Kambosos. Last time I saw Kambosos, he was fighting your guy from the UK, Lee Selby. What was up with that split decision that night? I mean, come on, man. I mean, I thought that he routed Selby.
Yeah, he did. There's no two ways about it. But again, you know, you get some iffy judging nowadays, as you know.
Well, the veteran Daniel Vandewell was on one card, and Yuri Kopsev was the other judge. But the judge had it 115-114 for Selby. Phil Edwards. Phil, we'll just leave it at that. Anyway, so yeah. We've got Kambosos taking on Teofimo Lopez. Of course, this is for the WBC. I take that back for the World Lightweight Championship. What gives here?
I don't really know. I'm stuck on that one. I'm really stuck on that one.
Okay. All right. Let's move it up. Now, what's happening with the heavyweights? I mean, the Battle of UK, Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua. I saw Fury on TV.
It's almost on a weekly basis now. They're going to announce the fight. I'm told by Steve Woods, promoter who works with Eddie Hearn, his VIP promotions. He tells me that there's definitely going to be an announcement this week for definite of the site, the date, everything. But a guy I want to mention to you, Pedro, I don't know if you know him too much, a guy here, he's WBA International Light Heavyweight title holder, a guy named Joshua Buatsi. Are you familiar with him?
No, I don't. Talk to me.
He's 13-0, and you know, they're touting him as the next light heavyweight version of John McGarvey. He fights next Saturday against another unbeaten guy, 15-0. He hasn't really fought anyone, but nonetheless, he's 15-0. Daniel Blender dos Santos. And, you know, it'll make for a good fight because I think we'll find out which way Buatsi is going. At the moment, he's just blowing everyone out, and he's looking good and polished doing it, you know.
You mentioned,
great body shot punch.
You mentioned John Mugabe. I remember he basically ended Marvin Hagler's career in 1985. I mean, Hagler had the Hearns fight, but I mean that fight with Mugabe, that took a lot of miles off Hagler's body, and of course Hagler would rumble with Ray Leonard. Ray waited 3.5 years after Roberto Duran almost beat Marvin Hagler to fight Marvin Hagler. Ray didn't show the utmost in guts at sometimes.
No, Ray was a business fighter, very, very, very great fighter on top of that, but he was a business fighter. He used to when he saw the Mugabe fight, that to him was like watching Ali Frazier 3. No one was going to come back as good again after that fight, and he just viewed that as his last opportunity to fight Hagler, and the best time to fight him having just fought Hearns, as you said, and then a massive war with John Mugabe.
Yeah. You know, and I remember when Hagler, the only time I saw Hagler hurt was when Juan Roldan knocked him down. I was there for that. And he got up, and he got up, pissed off, and took care of business. But I thought that was the only time I really saw Marvin Hagler hurt, per se.
Yeah, and you know what? That's just reminded me of something. I've met Marvin at least 4 times, and the one question I never, ever asked him, strangely enough, was who hit him the hardest? I never asked him that.
You know, he and I went back and forth over that Leonard scorecard. We argued in Mexico City. We argued in Malaga, Spain. We argued in Barcelona. I mean, everywhere we seemed to hook up the International Boxing Hall of Fame one time. So it seemed like any time that he and I got together, we debated the Leonard decision. I kept telling him, look, you gave away the first 4 rounds. This is how I put it to him, so he didn't beat me up. I said, you probably gave away the first 4 rounds, and then you allowed Leonard to steal 3 rounds down the stretch. I did that so I didn't get slugged.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've watched that fight numerous times. I'm a massive fan of both, particularly Hagler. But, you know, come on, I score every time for Leonard, every time.
Yeah, we've got the 140-pound championship going on May 22nd, of course, on ESPN. Your guy Josh Taylor taking on Jose Ramirez. Of course, this is for all the belts at 140 pounds. Ramirez is a slight favorite here. Now, you're going with your guy. Tell me why.
I get good reports about him in the gym. He's a dedicated fighter. He makes the weight well. He's looking good in training. He's very much the flavor of everyone in this country at the moment. And I just hope they're just not getting carried away with him. I don't think they are. Everyone I speak to said he's the real deal. So we'll wait and see. But like you say, Ramirez is the slight favorite, but, you know, that means nothing.
And this will be on ESPN. So when they show these fights in the UK now, is ESPN fights, are they on Sky Sports still?
No, we've got ESPN on our, so, you know, depending what package you get with your sports network, you get ESPN as well.
Okay, so what's Sky Sports doing as far as Barry Hearn taking his boxing and going to zone? Are they freaking out?
Oh, my God. He's trying to pull the ultimate Atlantic swimming challenge. By working with both, surely that can't work. He's trying to say he'll do UK work with Sky Sports, but he'll go on the worldwide stage with DAZN. That's not what Sky Sports want. Sky Sports want, you know, they want all the big events on their network shows. You know.
You know, I don't know who the British chick was. It was the headliner was headlining the broadcast last night, but I thought she did a good job.
Yeah, she's not bad. Her name slips me, but she hosts every Sky Sports boxing show, and you know she knows her stuff. You know her and Johnny Nelson and the guys. You know they know well. You know.
You know how come? You know, although I will say this, that the British announcers will pull for their guys, but they're really honest about it. In other words, if a guy's a decided underdog, you get the aforementioned announcers you just mentioned. They'll come out and they'll say, you know, I wish him the best, but he's got a long road to haul, things like that. So they're pretty honest about their boxing over there in the UK. Of course, that's where boxing started. The Marcus of Queensbury started, what, eight? What, you were back. Weren't you alive when Marcus Queensbury started boxing, Kenny?
Yeah, the Marcus Queensbury rules, yeah.
Okay. May 29th, Nordine Ubali taking on Nonito Donaire. Is Donaire, like, I think it was July 7, 2007, he knocked out Victor Arcinian on Showtime to capture the World Flyweight Championship. That's a long time ago. Should he still be fighting? Kenny?
As long as he's happy to do it, and his, you know, his cornerman and his management team are looking after him, you know, that's the main thing. You know, who are we to say when a fighter shouldn't be allowed to be fighting? You know.
Okay, here's what's up. Now I can get you a fight with the winner of the Logan Paul Floyd Mayweather fight. Are you interested?
I saw the charade on YouTube with the two of them. You know.
Well, you didn't answer my question.
I'd fight the two of them in the same night.
I'd fight them both at the same time. I can't believe it. Hey, the con is on. I mean, P.T. Barnum said, P.T. Barnum, the guy that started the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus, he's the one that said there's a sucker born every minute. Anybody who's willing to buy this chump Logan Paul against Floyd Mayweather and call it a boxing match is a sucker.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I just don't even know where the interest is in that escapade. I really don't.
The reason why you don't understand the interest is that you're a boxing fan. This isn't a boxing fans fight. This is a YouTube fans fight.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. Anyway, what'd you think of Andy Ruiz in his first comeback fight under Team Canelo? Do you think he looked good last week?
Do you know what? It was a difficult fight for him. Morello looked well. To be honest with you, it surprised me when he got dropped a couple of times. I thought his chin was made of sterner stuff than that. But, you know, I was looking at Ruiz fighting Deontay Wilder, I think, on that show, and I think that would be a bad match now. I think
That right hand coming down the pike, that probably would take him out, no doubt about that. Now, as far as Joshua and Fury is concerned, you still going with Fury on that?
No doubt about it, yeah.
Okay. And if Fury was ringside last night for the Billy Joe Saunders fight, and you know, he looks really skinny, he looks really in shape. Has he been off too long? In other words, you can be in, there's a big difference between being in the gym and fighting.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I've been saying all along. The longer this fight goes, it takes to come off, the less likely of being able to confidently pick a winner, because the two of them is going to go stale in the gym. And, you know, they just need to get this fight on now while they're both fresh and not going stale, et cetera, you know? You know what I'm talking about. You need to fight to stay fresh, you know?
Okay. One of the lightweights, before the last question for Sir Kenneth Rainford, one of the lightweights rocking 135 pounds is one of the WBC champions, Devin Haney, born in San Francisco, undefeated 25-0, taking on Jorge Linares on May 29th. That's on the zone. Is Haney the real deal, or is he a lot of hype?
I think it's a difficult question to answer at this moment in time. I think maybe one or two more fights down the road against decent opposition, you'll get that answer.
Good enough. Sir Kenneth Rainford, we always love you. Call it the Raincast, no doubt about that. You have a great week. We thank you so much for your time. And, of course, you're the man. When it comes to UK, Sir Kenneth Rainford is my guy.
No problem. Anytime, buddy.
Thank you, my brother. Of course, Sir Kenny coming to us live from the UK. May 29th, as I said, Nonito Donaire. Hook it up for the former champion, of course, living across the bay in Newark, California. He's got a beautiful wife. His wife calls the shot. She's his manager. Think about that. He's still fighting like a 40 years old, and his wife's a manager. What do you think? She's sort of like pushing him up the stairs? I think so. Too old to fight. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. This is my buddy Lenny Williams and Tower of Power. This time it's real, sitting across from me. If it could happen in a special way, I wish I may, I wish I might make you my all-star shining bright. I know I can feel it. This time it's real. Other girls that I had were fine, but they were mainly just to pass the time. Though I must confess I had some fun.